It's finally here, Monday Night Football. Whether you're watching this on the early edition on Sunday or listening to this on Monday, the Steelers do take on the Bears at Heinz Field. It's going to be color rush. It's going to be exciting. We have an exciting guest with us. Joey Christopoulos is here to break things down. He's going to break things down for us all Bears. I have some interesting questions for him about Justin Fields, the direction of quarterbacks in the NFL, considering the Bears and the Steelers, polar opposites of what the quarterback spectrum is in the NFL today. Fields, a rookie, fast quarterback who uses legs, bends, an older, non-mobile quarterback. Which way is the NFL trending? Is that a good or bad thing? That, all the reactions to things that happened on Sunday, and a final look at Steelers-Bears on Monday. I'm Chris Carter, host of the Locked On Steelers. Let's get into it.
You are Locked On Steelers, your daily Pittsburgh Steelers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I am your host, Chris Carter, bringing you your daily dose of all things on the Pittsburgh Steelers. As always, you can find this episode of the Locked On Steelers podcast, as all episodes, on Google Podcasts, Spotify, Apple, and of course YouTube. If you're watching this on YouTube, please hit the subscribe button. We are always available for free on all platforms, and thank you for making the Locked On Steelers podcast your first listen every day. Joining us today, he's Joey Christopoulos, a.k.a. at Joey Sports Guy on Twitter. He's been doing his shows on the Bears on Believe for a lot of time. Bet on Chicago. Joey, how have you been, man? Thanks so much for joining the show. We got a lot of things to break down with this big Monday night matchup.
Chris, happy week 9. So happy to be here on the pod, ready to break down Bears Steelers week 9. Let's get after it, man.
Absolutely. And let's lead off with something. I talked a little bit about this on our Friday show with Jenna Harner, which previewed this game a little bit too. But I also want to talk to you about Justin Fields globally. One thing Mike Tomlin said the Steelers were going to do during their bye week was look at the standing of mobile quarterbacks across the NFL. He told us that was, he said, globally, we have to look at and assess, you know, what our team's doing that's different now. Because, you know, the Steelers, they have a lot to focus on. They're starting 4 new rookies on offense. They've got all these different guys all over the place. Ben Roethlisberger's old. His whole new offensive line is new. Everything, they've had to focus on themselves. But during the bye week, they said they were going to take time to look at and sort of research and assess what are the trends that's helping mobile quarterbacks succeed. And Justin Fields is one of those guys. You look at the Eagles, Jalen Hurts. You look at even Trevor Lawrence is a type like that. The Steelers play one every year, twice in Lamar Jackson now. Tua Tagovailoa would be a guy that people would look to see, does he go in that direction? Josh Allen does that a lot. It's becoming more of the trend for quarterbacks to have not just the chance of being mobile, because that's kind of what Patrick Mahomes is. He, you know, he can run when he has to, but these are guys who, if you leave them a lane, they hurt you with your feet. And you saw that against the Niners. Even though the Bears lost that game, that one run that Justin Fields had was amazing. And the Steelers were talking about it all week at practice. We asked them about it and they were all like, yeah, we did see that. What do you see this as maybe becoming the requirement or the standard instead of the exception, with mobile quarterbacks taking over the NFL? And what have you thought on top of that? What have you thought of Justin Fields and his early challenges with the Bears?
Well, Chris, I certainly think it's the preference, because the Chicago Bears traded up in this draft to draft Justin Fields and not Mac Jones. And right. I think that's one of those signals right there that's kind of moving towards the modern NFL. It's been really interesting. Now, as a Bears fan, I am willing to say that, you know, in my hometown, I might not know quarterback play, or as Bears fans, we might not know quarterback play as well as other cities. It feels like we're kind of walking out of a cave and the sun's sort of hitting us in the eyes for the very first time in a long time, trying to wrap our head around this. And I've been doing Believe in Bears with the Bleed Podcast Network with former Bears defensive end Corey Wooten. And yes, a lot of the discussions that we have been really instructive per, you know, the conversation that you want to have about running quarterbacks, where I think we can put Lamar Jackson in a different category. I just think that he is so dynamic.
He really is in his own category, though.
He's in his own category of mobile quarterbacks. In terms of Justin Fields, when he first got on, you know, under center after Andy Dalton got hurt, I feel like, in my opinion, he almost wanted to stay in the pocket too long. Mm-hmm. And what Corey was trying to explain to me is that for a young guy like Justin Fields, and this could be the case also for guys like Jalen Hurts, when they're getting up there early in the game and they're trying to figure their ways out, Justin Fields, he can't read a blitz great right now, right?
Right.
He's maybe a 1-2 look. Can he get to that third progression right now? Is he able to recognize the pocket and step up? Maybe those things aren't necessarily quite there yet. So you have to use your legs. It is incumbent upon him to make the passing game easier for a rookie quarterback, for him to make them respect him sideline to sideline. So that's why in that 49ers game, you saw some more RPOs. For the first time ever, Justin Fields was able to read an RPO and do a keeper, which led to a 17-yard, you know, it wasn't the 22-yard touchdown, but it led to a 17-yarder early on in the game. That's what we're considering progress right now. I can tell you this, that I do think long-term Justin Fields wants to be known as that pocket passer, but this is a little bit of nature and necessity right now going on with a rookie quarterback with not a great an offensive line, who's having trouble picking up safety blitz right now. And I just think this is kind of the way it needs to work a little bit. I want to throw it back at you because per this topic that we're having, there's got to be these new and different ways where offenses break right. opposing defenses. When I'm watching, I'm watching a lot of that Kurt Warner study ball on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And what he keeps bringing up is that a lot of teams run similar concepts. So if there's a lot of the same concepts going around the NFL, one would think that people can kind of scheme up and sort of try and take certain things away from different teams based on their deficiencies. So maybe that's where the mobile quarterback comes into play. You know, maybe the scramble drill is a way to break the opposing defenses. You see guys like Josh Allen, you know, they kind of know when to tuck and run it a little bit. Obviously, he's a big guy. Is he Big right. Ben 2.0 in terms of?
Oh, no. I'll give Josh Allen this. He is much more mobile than Ben Roethlisberger ever was. Even in Ben's young days, Ben could escape and kind of hurt you with his legs a little bit. Josh Allen can escape and become an effective runner. To me, that's a big difference. But young Ben was kind of like the big guy. If you didn't tackle him, he might bowl over a small DB. But Josh Allen, he's playing. I love the way that he plays his game.
And maybe call me old school, but there is an element to this that terrifies me, right? I think Kyler Murray is one of the most exciting players in the NFL.
Yes,
but
again, he's the person I left out in that.
Yeah, this season alone, though, can he get through this season healthy? And when he's out using his legs running, are we putting him in vulnerable spots where he can get injured? That is the grand question, because the quarterback is the most important position, if not on the football team, maybe in sports. So in terms of Justin Fields, I think right now he has to do that. He has to use his legs. He has to be that runner right now, just so he can open up other elements of an offense that, let's be honest, in our particular case, is dead last in passing yards, dead last in points scored per game, dead last in yards per play. I mean, on and on and on. So it's sad that our rookie quarterback perhaps is our only hope against the Pittsburgh Steelers on Monday Night Football.
But I mean, at the same time, you drafted him because, you know, his leadership ability. One thing that, I mean, I said this, you know, back when he was at Ohio State, I loved Justin Fields. I loved the way he fought, the way he played. And like when I believe I did a show with Lauren Cox, I said, man, when the Bears got him, I said, that's a win. Like, I do think he is the first to, I mean, I don't know if you have any fandoms of like Rex Grossman or anyone, but the Bears have never had a real quarterback in my time watching them. I've never just looked and said, man, wish you had that guy. You know, Jay Cutler for a few years, yeah, but like, you know, that wasn't like the Bears quarterback. You kind of took him from Denver, but this is a guy who can be homegrown. And being that, do you think that Nagy's mismanaging Justin right now? Because I've heard a lot of people say that. And yes, the Bears are giving up sacks 12.6% of their dropbacks right now, the highest rate in the NFL, and that's a nightmare. But is this a thing where Justin Fields just, he needs to go through the fire, he needs to go through these wars so that he can come out on the better side of it? Or do you think that, you know what, though, there's other things they need to be doing to protect this quarterback because he needs to be the future?
Well, in terms of Justin Fields, let's just look at it at the schedule. We played the Packers, the Buccaneers, played the 49ers, we're playing you guys, and we're playing the Ravens. If you look at that schedule in preseason, you go, that's going to be a beast of a schedule, and the rookie quarterback is going through that fire, as you mentioned. In terms of Justin Fields' progress, I think there's a lot of bumps in the road, right? I don't think the progress is on a linear path necessarily. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you see 49ers this week. Let's see how he does on the road at Heinz Field versus T.J. Watt and the Steelers on Monday night. I'm not expecting the most. If he has success, I'll be impressed. I think that'll be a huge step forward, even if it isn't numbers that are eye-popping. In terms of Nagy mismanaging, the answer is yes.
He was just like, yeah.
You don't even have to watch Chicago Bears football. If we just have a conversation with ourselves and we say, what do you want your coach to do with a rookie quarterback? One of the first things you say is make him comfortable, protect him, put him in situations where he can succeed. And in that Browns game, 0-for-3. You know what I mean? 0-for-3 and 3 strikeouts for Matt Nagy. And that's been the biggest problem right now. I think Matt Nagy came back this season for the encore that no one wanted. All Bears fans wanted him fired last year. Ooh. And now he's back this year. We were trying to figure it out. And ever since that Browns game, it's literally been like a kid on his driver's test, and Bears Nation is in the shotgun doing the driving test as Matt Nagy's going down the road, picking apart every single play when he's not on the field last week because he tested positive for COVID. Every time they scored a touchdown, Bears fans were like, see, we can do it without Nagy. And look, if the kid is young and inexperienced, you need to have a coach that at least gives him a shot to progress in a certain way. We don't see that with Matt Nagy right now. And our offense is suffering. And I think it gets to the point where we have to be really careful where you mentioned it, and I'm going to agree with you. Justin Fields, mental makeup-wise, is as strong and as capable as the physical elite skills that he brings out in the field. And I love that about him, and I love that about him long-term. But then the question is, I don't think Nagy's going to break him, but the question is, can Nagy get something out of him and accelerate a certain progression? Was he sitting Justin Fields all along because the rumors are out there that Matt Nagy can only run one system, that he can't adapt the way some other coaches do, like the Harbaughs and maybe the Sean Paytons of the world? That out there is definitely something we're talking about. I'll tell you that much. And this game right now, we're 3-5. It's going to be really interesting to see if we lose tomorrow night, whether he gets fired going into our bye week and we roll through the rest of the season and try and turn this thing over, because I just don't know what it is. What can save Matt Nagy's job? Playoffs and a playoff win. Are we getting that this year? Probably not. So if we're not getting that, it might be time to start thinking about the future. The future is Justin Fields, and it's not about 2022. It's about 2022 and beyond.
Man, that's pretty wild. It may shock you, but we get all those fire Mike Tomlin talks here a lot here in Pittsburgh. Yeah.
I will drive to Squirrel Hill, and I will pick him up. I will show him the sights and sounds. I will have heated seats in the car. I will bring him to Chicago. Guys, I know. I hear it. I hear it from Steelers Nation sometimes. Ooh. You know, obviously Boswell's play last week is something that obviously goes in the bin of really ways to fire off on Tomlin. But I love the guy. I think he runs a really strong ship. I think him being over 500 for every single season as a head coach means something in the NFL, especially to teams that are under 500. This is the fifth time in 9 years the Chicago Bears have been sitting at 3-5. Oof. Since Lovie Smith got fired. So we know something about being under 500. I'm just a big fan of Mike Tomlin. You should never let him go.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that, because I've been saying that for years. And Steelers fans, most Steelers fans hear me. I will say it's not the majority of Steelers fans, but it's just the Steelers fans that do talk. They speak very loudly about firing.
Do it.
I want to talk about some things that happened on Sunday in the NFL. But first, I got to talk to you guys about DirecTV Stream. Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows, and then you're watching sports highlights on your phone, and then you still got your neighbor's best friends logging for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all the entertainment you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings live TV on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes, no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there's no annual contract, so get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at directtv.com. That's directtv.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. Back here on the Locked On Steelers podcast, I'm Chris Carter here on the Locked On Steelers podcast with Joey Christopoulos from Believe in Bears podcast. Joey, we talked about the Bears, talked about the Steelers. Let's take a step back. We'll get back to that matchup in just a little bit. But I want to talk to you about the 1 o'clock games. Full disclosure, we're recording this during the 4 o'clock hour of NFL games. As it stands, the Chiefs are up on the Packers. The Cardinals are up on the Niners, and Philly is tied with the Chargers. But looking at some of these 1 o'clock games, you got some interesting footnotes that kind of tie into the middle part of the season, because that's where we're at. We're at week 9. It's the middle part of the season. This is where teams start to figure out who they are a little bit more. You got some teams like the Patriots stepping up. You know, they've put together some wins. They're back to a winning record of 5-4, winning 24-6 over the Panthers. But to me, some of the biggest games and some of the surprising games you saw in this week were well, the most surprising, I think no one will doubt, is the Jaguars beating the Bills 9-6. First of all, Urban Meyer, who was under fire left and right just 3 weeks ago, it was all about Urban Meyer, him being at, him not being on the team plane, him being, you know, filmed at, you know, at a bar with, that was his name, and him dancing with the people that he should have been dancing with. All this stuff was going on. Then all of a sudden, John Gruden happens. Then all of a sudden, there's all this Aaron Rodgers stuff, and then Henry Ruggs happens, and then there's all these other scandals just busting out all over the league, and the Jaguars during that time have won 2 games. It's crazy. And now, and not just 2 games, but this game, before I was like, okay, you want more. This game was the Bills. The Bills are a Super Bowl favorite in an AFC conference that everyone pegged the Chiefs, the Browns, the Bills as like, oh yeah, they're going to run away with this conference. It's going to come down to those teams. Nobody can hold on to first place. The Titans are about to play in Sunday Night Football, probably going to lose to the Rams without Derrick Henry. If they surprise us, it would, that'd be a shocker. But point being, you look at the Bills. You're in the NFC, so this is less about stress for the Bears. What is your assessment of who is the class of the AFC when you look across the way?
Well, I watched that Bills-Jaguars game on my DirecTV channel today. Which hey. I always appreciate that. Always crystal clear. who is the class right now? Well, here's the interesting thing, and this is probably where the season gets, you know, really, really juicy, not just because it's only halfway through, but everyone has right up until about Thanksgiving to pretty much work out whatever kinks they have and ask themselves, are we contenders, pretenders, and what are we going to be? In terms of the Buffalo Bills, we were talking about it just briefly before we went live. You know, this has kind of been a trend offensively for them for the last couple of weeks now. You know, Josh Allen hasn't necessarily been putting up the biggest performances. I mean, when they go big, you know, they boom, right? They explode. They can put 40 points on the board like no one else. I think the good news for them is that their defense is still elite. I still like that as an edge moving forward. It's hard to find defenses on a week-to-week basis that are going to stand up. I think the Buffalo Bills are one of those teams right now. But watch out, the New England Patriots getting some momentum all of a sudden in that division. And I think for the Buffalo Bills, I think playing at home is going to be important for them in the playoffs moving forward. So they have some time. There's no reason to freak out. But again, this is the NFL, right? It's so interesting that every single week, you know, if you're a Bills fan and you're talking about, hey, maybe if we win this weekend in week 15, we can get our home game, we get our home seed, you're always going to look back at this Jaguars game and go, what happened? This should have been a W that we could have easily locked up. Man, the class right now, I mean, the Raiders lost today.
The Raiders lost to the Giants. And granted, the Raiders been going through it. Like, it was yes. I was impressed how they won coming out of the John Gruden week. But now you lose the Henry Ruggs. And not that he was a superstar for them, but they were figuring things out. And I don't care what anybody says. This is a lot. When you have drama all around a team, it is tough to focus. It is tough to, you know, to go through the playbook and say, okay, we're doing this week. We're doing this. We got to focus on that. The other team's doing this. You're going to have those problems. And the Giants came out. They outplayed them 23-16. And then you still got the Ravens, you know, looked like they were about to lose to the Vikings. But yet again, they pulled victory out of the jaws of defeat, down 14. They make a comeback. Granted, it is the Vikings. I'm sure you can attest to their mediocrity at times. But still a 34-31 overtime win for them. All of a sudden the Ravens are looking at a chance to be, you know, for them to be in that mentioning of the class of the AFC. To me, this is going to be a very interesting next few weeks. Also, the Browns destroying the Bengals. I thought the Browns could win that game. I had the Bengals still actually winning it, but you know, the Bengals folding when they were, because at one point they were the one seed, the Titans are the one seed, you know, going into a Sunday Night Football that they'll probably lose. And that might fall to the Ravens, but it's just, nobody can hold on to being the quote unquote top team in the AFC right now.
Absolutely. And this is great news for the Steelers, right? We mentioned the Titans, you know, Derrick Henry and the broken foot. All of a sudden you're starting to look around and just ask yourself, who scares you?
Right.
And even if you are a Steeler, you know, you're on Steeler Nation or not, if there's no one that scares you out there, this thing is wide open. I mean, the Ravens, I get it. You know, they're stacking up some wins right now. Another big, huge victory today against a Vikings team that, you know, clearly just is going to play every single game, you know, 2 to 3 point differential, like all season long, right, and losing overtime somehow. But, you know, I don't think the Ravens scare you with their defense right now. And the Chiefs, offensively, I still think they're going to figure it out. I'm not buying the whole, you know, this is the end of the Chiefs thing. I think they're going to be, even if they sneak into the playoffs and even if it is bumpy along the way, who the hell wants to play Patrick Mahomes in the first round?
Not me. No,
right? So, and I'll be honest, you know, I get it. They just lost to the Jaguars. They're going to catch a lot of flack, and their offense is going in the wrong direction. I just still think the Bills, top to bottom, are probably the team to watch just moving down the stretch over the next 6, 7, 8 weeks of just the team that I just think has a little bit of everything and a really good quarterback that's also mobile, a really elite defense too as well. But again, you know, yeah, the Browns bounce back. We'll see what happens. They do need to get Kareem Hunt back into the mix a little bit if they're going to actually sort of solidify themselves. I think the Bengals are going to be untrustworthy the rest of the way here. The Broncos, I'm not buying the Broncos. I can't buy Teddy Bridgewater.
Who can buy the Broncos?
I mean, come on. I love Two Gloves, solid quarterback. I just don't think it's something that's going to really get the hairs in the back of your neck standing up. So if you know, for the Steelers, all you got to worry about is what you do in your own division and just worry about go week to week and try and get as many wins as you can. And I don't think there's any reason why they couldn't probably stack up with any of these teams right now. There's no one blowing anyone's doors off. That's more of the NFC style, you know, Packers, Cardinals, Cowboys today. Holy
cow. Cowboys drop one.
Yeah, I mean, is that a blip? Is that a Mike McCarthy game, or is that something, you know, is Dak 100%? We'll see what happens there. But no one's running away with it in the AFC in my mind.
And to your point, the Steelers shouldn't be scared of anyone. One of those top teams you mentioned to watch, they beat the Bills in Buffalo to start the season. So the Steelers have a defensive formula. If their guys are healthy, I think they match up with anybody that comes against them. Now, granted, that doesn't guarantee that they'll win these games, as we've seen. But I see this defense, as I said before the season, this defense gives them a chance to hang in with anybody. And if a couple plays go their way, they can hold on to leads and they can get after a team's quarterbacks, they can stuff the run, and they have the athletes to win those type of games. But we will see if they do that. Let's not look too far ahead. Like you said, it's all about winning each week at a time. We'll talk about that upcoming matchup in just a moment here with the Steelers hosting the Bears on Monday Night Football at Heinz Field. I will be there in the press box in attendance watching this showdown. But first, let's talk about Built Bar, our great sponsor. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. If you haven't tried a Built Bar by now, you are missing out. They say it's a protein bar, but it doesn't taste like one. You have to try one of these amazing bars yourself to believe it. Most protein bars are chalky or waxy or just plain hard to choke down, but a Built Bar is soft, covered in 100% real chocolate. And when you bite into it, you know you're eating something different. It's more of an experience, one that you'll enjoy. And in fact, you'd swear you're eating a candy bar. Built Bars are low carb, low calorie, low fat, low sugar, and high in protein. All the healthy benefits on top of just being purely delicious because they have so many flavors. They have all the flavors, whether it's coconut, raspberry, mint brownie, coconut almond, salted caramel, double chocolate, or cherry barcia. This month, Built is coming out with a new limited time flavor every 3 to 4 days. So check their website out at built.com often, because you don't want to miss out. Go to built.com and be sure to use the promo code LOCKED15. That's LOCKED15, all capital letters, all one word, LOCKED15, to get 15% off your next order. Again, that's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. We're also brought to you by betonline.ag. We're back at better than ever at BetOnline with a new web interface for the start of the basketball season and even more props, odds, and lines than ever before with football. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the basketball and football action this season. Head to the new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use the promo code LOCKEDON. That's LOCKEDON, all capital letters, all one word, and you'll receive your bonus. From basketball to football to baseball's postseason, which is now over. Congratulations to the Atlanta Braves, but also the NHL, boxing, UFC, all the way down to your Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season at BetOnline, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports, and BetOnline, where the game starts. Now, Joey, we got to wrap it up here. When I do back-to-back ad reads, I mean, we keep it rolling here on the Locked On Steelers podcast.
Hey, I'm a BetOnline fan too, as well. Also a fine sponsor of the Bleed Podcast Network as well.
Hey, shout out to BetOnline. They take care of their people. But hey, Joey, let's get this down. I'm Chris Carter of Locked On Steelers. He's Joey Christopoulos of Bleed in Bears. Now, Joey, we're looking at these matchups here. And one thing that sticks out to me the most is the fact that the Steelers love to rush the passer, even though they don't lead the NFL in sacks right now. I believe they have 19 coming into this week. They've led the NFL in sacks for the last 4 straight years, unprecedented in NFL history. They still got TJ Watt. Alex Highsmith has really come along. Cam Hayward's still coming up the middle, and they're still feeling free to send players like Devin Bush to get after quarterbacks. when you see that kind of pass rush coming, I mean, the Browns game was just a nightmare for the backfield. What is the biggest thing that you want to see the Bears do to negate the Steelers pass rush?
It's going to sound pretty simple, but run the ball. You know, and it's funny that our offense has been so inept, but yet somehow we've averaged 153 rushing yards over the last three games.
Granted, number five in the NFL coming into this week.
Right. So, I mean, we've gotten it done. Khalil Herbert is a legit guy around the edge. I mean, he can definitely sort of break, defensive ends that want to pin their ears back and just go straight up the field. If he can get around that edge and kind of sort of break that up a little bit, it's going to be huge. And again, this goes back to Nagy, man. I mean, this isn't rocket science. Even when I'm talking with Corey Wooten, you got to do certain things against teams like the Pittsburgh Steelers. You got to bring in some chip help. You got to do a little max protect. Hell, run a screen pass every once in a while. these are things that we just really haven't been doing recently. And what's sort of happened is our offensive line gets a lot of criticism, but in the running game, they've been pretty solid. You know, 39-year-old Jason Peters in the run game is a bit of a road grader. He's got a nasty streak to him. He really finishes at the point of attack. But if you ask him to get, you know, side to side and start shuffling, get a little versatile on a pass pro situation, that's where he really struggles. And if you have a rookie quarterback and sometimes a rookie running back out there trying to pick up where Devin Bush is going to be coming in from and trying to pick up that blitz, that's where we have really, really struggled. So they just have to run the ball, try and get some first downs, try and alleviate it a little bit. And then obviously what we've been trying to do is get Justin Fields into play action situations, which he really loves and thrives in. But again, we got to call those moments at the right time. We got to hit the right button at the right moment. And hopefully we can draw up some plays that don't take forever. We have to be quick and decisive with our decisions. And that starts with the play calls that come in. So Justin Fields on the field can be a decisive decision maker. That's a little redundant there, but complete some passes, move the chains and just kind of get them off him a little bit. I guarantee you, we give up 3.8 sacks a game. 1.5 of those is probably going to come from Justin Fields, who's going to hold on to the football a little bit too long because he wants to make a play. He's just not there yet. So there's going to be opportunities for the Steelers. As a Bears fan and as the Bears as a whole, we just got to sort of mitigate those situations, try and limit the second and 25s, and hold on the football, protect the football. And, you know, I think this is going to be a low-scoring game, so I think there's going to be some scary moments probably offensively, but if we can do some things to try and create elements of areas where we can make some plays, we might have a shot at this one.
No, absolutely. And like, listen, we just saw the Bills lose to the Jaguars, and the Steelers aren't as composed of a team as the Bills are. So like, it's, you know, and the Bills aren't, or the Bears aren't nearly as bad as the Jaguars have been this season. I look at this and I see, you know, there's always opportunities for winning. When people talk about, oh, you shouldn't lose that game, I'm like, people don't understand all the factors that go into, you know, how a team could lose a game, you know. But, you know, with the Bears, you still got playmakers on both sides of the ball, but the Bears are missing a lot of important guys. You're, of course, missing Khalil Mack with his foot injury, Eddie Jackson doubtful with his hamstring injury, Alec Ogletree is questionable. Who are the guys that you see on defense that the Steelers need to worry about?
First and foremost, you need to worry about Roquan Smith, the guy that's playing at a Pro Bowl level.
My guy. I love that.
Is it your guy? Is Georgia Bulldog right there. Dude, he is fantastic. He is a sideline to sideline guy. He can rush the quarterback. He can go out in coverage. He can stop the run. And not only can he stop the run, he can kind of make you think twice the next time you want to hit the hole hard. So what they try to do, the 49ers, would just try to get someone on him just to sort of slow him down for a couple yards so they can kind of move things from side to side and, you know, get Deebo Samuel the ball last week, and it seemed to work. The other guy is Robert Quinn. Robert Quinn, who was absolutely just brutal last year. We gave him the bag, man. We gave him so much money, and he was brutal last year. This year, he's got a speed that we did not see before. He is getting to the quarterback. He's actually been really great in the running game too as well, just chasing down guys, you know, stopping them, you know, getting sideline to take some dudes down. So you definitely have to account for them, but nobody Jackson, no Khalil Mack. It was a real problem last week. And if you're a Steelers fan and you're looking at this, there's two things that really terrify me as a Bears fan. One of them is we've given up 160 rushing yards a game the last 3 weeks. That is good news for a Steelers team that has tried to get a little bit more committed and run with more conviction with Najee Harris, and an offensive line that maybe is gelling, maybe slowly coming together a little bit. And then the other one is I'm just really curious to see what the Bears decide to do. Do they want to trade sides? Are they going to let Jalen Johnson take Deontay Johnson? Or Jalen Johnson, who's our cornerback, bigger physical receiver, are we going to put him on Chase Claypool? And what we've seen over and over again, go to Pro Football Focus, Kendall Vildor on the other side, our cornerback, is allowing one of the highest QB ratings, you know, in the NFL per cornerback. So you're going to see, you know, you're going to see a lot of 22 in a Bears uniform, probably on a lot of passes. I think that's going to be a safety valve for Big Ben. And it's just going to be, you know, which side did they kind of pick and parcel there? I don't think we're going to be in a situation where we're going to allow huge plays. Hopefully that doesn't happen. But outside of the front four, which needs to win, that is the only way we're going to be able to probably slow you guys down, win at the point of attack in the running game, try and get in Big Ben's face. I don't know about sacking him, but just try and make him, you know, make some of those, I'm sorry, Big Ben decisions in the second half. You know what I mean? A couple of those get it out of here throws that maybe can be tipped up in the air. Because after that, in the second level with our secondary, Eddie Jackson being hurt, and with our cornerback situation right now isn't ideal, the Steelers could really have some success offensively.
I think there's some chances there for that. But like you said, there's sometimes Ben Roethlisberger makes some questionable decisions, and that keeps teams in games. But that being said, give me your final score prediction. How do you see this game playing out, and what's your final score?
Well, this pains me, Chris, because I married into a Yinzer family. I've been with my wife for 7 years, married for three. So we have bets going on in the apartment right now. We have a marriage bet going on for the game of who wins, who loses, what's going to happen. I'm going 19-16 Steelers win. The only way the Bears are really going to have a chance in this, and they haven't done a good job of it this year, is probably creating turnovers, creating at least one short field for Justin Fields, right? Something where he can just punch it in a 3 or 4 play drive for a touchdown. They need that so desperately. I don't know if they get it. And I just see the Steelers doing enough, especially in third down situations. I also see a scenario. This is what other teams have been doing. On fourth down, if it's less than 6 yards and it's probably around midfield, I'm saying you're probably going to go for it. The disrespect that opponents have put on us by consistently going for it on fourth down has been prevalent throughout this entire season. I think the Steelers could be in that mode too as well, which I just think gives them another opportunity to, you know, keep the chains moving and maybe score some points. So I see a low scoring affair. 19-16 Steelers, don't like it, don't love it. But, man, with this Matt Nagy offense, I've been in show-me mode for weeks now on my pod. I can't really get off of that. I want my Bears to win, but they got to show me something, and it hasn't been much recently. So,
well, I agree with that assessment, because the Bears offense would be – that's the one factor here that I have the reason is the Steelers are going to win this game. I think handily. I have them winning 27-6. I know that's a big number, but just the way the Steelers play defense, they stuff the run and they force the quarterback to beat them with his arm. And then even then, you have to make some pretty good decisions. And like you said, you know, Justin Fields still figuring out what it's like to take on pressure, to be able to counter that pressure, to read blitzes, to read defenses. That plays right into what the Steelers like to do. And they're used to facing mobile quarterbacks. Now, if Khalil Herbert gets going, that can really change the pace of things. But the Steelers just shut down Nick Chubb last week, and we've seen them go week to week, you know. But I think that this is a really good opportunity with how healthy their defense is, that they can go into this game, control it defensively, maybe get some big turnovers, maybe a pick six. They haven't had too many defensive touchdowns this season. But I think this is the game where you see the defense sort of take over, and Najee Harris, him and Roquan Smith are going to be a heck of a matchup. But when those guys meet, I'm going to love watching it, because those are two SEC guys that just they bring the pain. Najee Harris has just been flat out fantastic whenever he's had a chance here. And like you said, that young offensive line, they've been figuring things out. I've seen some really impressive things, especially from rookie center Kendrick Green, a third round guy to Illinois. He's been blocking a lot better the past few weeks. This is a chance for the Steelers. And I said this, go back to Steelers fans. You listen to the Locked On Steelers podcast before the season. I said, Browns, Bears, that's when this offensive line has to start turning the corner. I saw them start to do it against the Packers. I've seen them grow every week since. This is the game where they played well against the Browns. They need to play really well against the Bears and show, hey, we are coming together as a unit. So that's why I have the pick there. What you got, Joey?
Oh, I was going to say, Chris, man, I'm telling you right now, for everyone listening, if that number is correct, Chris, that 27-6 number is correct, we will fire our coach on Monday. And that whole the Steelers causing the opponent to fire their coach, that myth will continue. And it's such a shame, Chris. I'll tell you, man, like, my bet was, this might not be interesting to anyone who isn't married.
No, that's fine. I want to hear this. This is fun.
This is a total marriage bet. I had on the line, if the Bears win, I got 4 nights of whatever movie I wanted to watch. no discussion. Like, sometimes we co-sign on shows. There's plenty of stuff that we want to watch, but we also have stuff that we don't want to watch. But, man, I was like, man, I had Heat lined up. I had Last of the Mohicans lined up, Edge of Tomorrow. Ooh. I had all these. Ooh. That was the bet, man, and I'm not going to be able to get that now. It's starting to feel more futile by the day. But you know what? The Chicago Bears have surprised me before. I've been miserable for quite some time. I'm used to it. But luckily, we have a quarterback. Hopefully, you guys don't kill him tomorrow, and he can just continue to keep progressing. And then we can see each other, in like 4 years when it rolls back around, right?
Well, who knows? They might see each other in 2 years or in a year or two with the whole extra NFC game and how that plays out. Yeah, so there's always a chance that can play back around. But Joey, we got to get out of here. Thanks so much for joining the Locked On Steelers podcast. Let people know where they can find you, follow you, and get more of your work.
Chris, first off, man, great to meet you, man. Great talking shop with you on this Sunday, man. Really great, awesome show, man. And hopefully we can stay connected moving forward in the future. You can follow me at Joey Sports Guy on Instagram or Twitter. I host Believe in Bears with former Bears defensive end Corey Wooten. We preview every single week. We do a post game every single week, trying to give you the best Bears knowledge that we can, bring some guests on, have a good time. I also host Bet on Chicago for that same podcast network. That covers all Chicago sports, but I also do a little bit more. I try and get into pop culture, talk about movies, try and do Chicago history, try and bring on different people from different fan bases and try and get a pulse of that too as well. So that's a little bit of something for everyone. Man, thank you so much for having me on the pod. Be well and go Bears.
Hey, watch that on his show, buddy.
I'll show myself out.
In all seriousness, thanks for being here, Joey. You can follow me, Chris Carter, at Carter Critiques on both Twitter and Instagram. You can listen to this show Monday through Friday, sometimes Sunday, as you can see if you're watching this on YouTube on Sunday. But you can get this show Monday through Friday on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, and of course YouTube. Be sure to go to our YouTube channel, hit the like button, hit the subscribe button. That stuff really helps us out. Even if you prefer to listen to us on the audio version, we really appreciate that. Also, if you want to help out this show, go to Apple Podcasts, leave us a 5-star review, leave us a positive comment. That stuff helps us out. And when you do both at the same time, you get a shout out, just like this person, Blood857, who gave us a 5-star review, says, love the show, always informative, love coming home from work and being able to catch a fresh take on the day's happenings. Thanks so much, Blood. We appreciate you on your 5-star review. We got another 5-star review we'll read tomorrow. Be sure to check us out. I'll be posting shortly after the game. I got to be at Heinz Field, so it'll take a little bit while to get home, but I will have all my post-game reactions right here on the Locked On Steelers podcast after Steelers take on the Bears on Monday Night Football at Heinz Field.